I am Platon on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A few weeks ago, I talked to the French author Erwin Larher. On the 13th of November, 2015, he was at the Bataclan Theater in Paris, France, the night when gunmen stormed the historic concert hall and carried out a mass shooting. 130 deaths were attributed to shootings and suicide bombings at six different locations across Paris that night. 90 of those killed were inside the Bataclan, taking in the Eagles of Death Metal concert. In his new book, Mr. Larher talks about the experience in a memoir that bends the genre. You have his account up to, during, and after the attack, as well as the voices of his loved ones. It's a moving book and takes the reader through this gruesome night, as well as the days in the wake of it, as Mr. Larher recovers from his injuries, for he too was shot. Erwin Larher was in the music business for 15 years after attending Sciences Po University. He became a writer and has published three novels, working on the fourth as he recovered from the shooting 3 years ago. The title of this memoir is The Book I Didn't Want to Write. It was a critical and popular hit in Paris when it was published in August of last year. This new book is published by Locarno Books. He joined me from Toronto in late October. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Erwin Larher. Mr. Larher, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Thanks for joining us. This book has done quite well in France, I understand. Is that correct?
It has, especially thanks to bookstores. And, I attended a lot of bookstores and book fairs, and, the book worked well.
Yeah. And so have you read the English translation?
No, I have not yet. No, I've decided to not involved into the translation and trust my translator and my publisher.
Yeah, it's as I was telling you before we started, it's a very powerful book. It's very moving.
Thank you.
It's difficult to read in a lot of parts, and so I'm wondering when you're writing it, because you obviously had to relive a lot of the terrible parts of the past 3 years. What was that like for you?
It was, I don't know if it's correct to say that, it was neutral. Because I had recovered, you know, and I didn't write this book as a testimony or a cathartic experience. I wrote it as my sixth novel, because that's the first translated into English, but it's my sixth novel. And to me, it was just trying to do literature from what I had lived, which means to me, in a word, speak to the old word, which is not very modest, but I think literature should speak to all humanity and question the world we live in and the human beings we are. So it was, to me, it was a job, you know. I just did put the emotion on the desk and put my pen in the emotions and wrote the most sincerely possible.
And so when you have to relive or remember details and the sort, I mean, that must be hard as well, because you, at this point now, you're questioning memory. That's why we hear in the book or read in the book other people's voices, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it was not painful. What was painful, what was difficult to me, is that it's the first book I am the main character of. Usually I write fiction, I create characters and stories. And what was difficult to me was technical. I didn't know how to put myself as a main character. But as far as the emotion and the relieving what I've lived on the ground of the Bataclan, bleeding, or that was, it was behind me. It was. I wrote it as if it did not happen to me.
Right.
I don't know if I make myself understandable.
No, yeah. I think you do, because I at the same time you also put yourself in the shoes of the other people involved.
Yeah, and my. I wanted to be as precise and sincere as possible, but as a writer, how can I evoke the smell? How can I evoke the blood? How can I evoke the sounds, the yellings, the fear? But with the more precise words and sentences and the rhythm of the story. So it was not, I was not in a, in a emotion, I was in technique.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously the other voices, it's a big part of the book, very important to me.
Yeah. And it took you a while as well, as I, for, from what I understand, for to be convinced to write about all of this, right?
I had to be convinced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted you to, and you
exactly.
Were... And
correct.
You didn't want to, right?
Well, it didn't go through my mind, actually. Mm-hmm. As I told you, I create stories, and that was an intimate, personal tragedy, you know? As if I have had a car crash, you know, on the highway,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't have told myself, oh, yeah, let's write a book about this car crash. No, that's personal. And as soon as I understood that this did not happen only to me, but to my whole country, and maybe to the whole Occidental world, Western world, then the writer in me said, oh, maybe you have the duty to try and write something about that.
Yeah.
And yet, two of my fellow writers, very good friends, convinced me, yeah.
Now, you, at the beginning of the book, you write so lovingly about your reverence and love for music.
Thank you.
You know, that's not the kind of music that I listen to, but I understood quite clearly just how much impact or how much a part of your life it is. I mean, I understand you worked in the music business at one point, too. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then you gave that up for writing. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I was not happy, so what made me happy was writing, so I decided to quit. Lost a lot of money, but gained happiness.
But November 13th, you go to the Bataclan for a concert, and you also write about that venue, because that goes back decades. That goes back, 100 years or more now. It's a great place to take in musical acts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you...
Yeah, it's an old historical place. You had theater played there, and you had... it's very famous in France, so maybe all over the world now. But it's a great place for music, yeah. And I just wanted to say something about just what you said before.
Uh-huh.
It's very important to me that about music, you felt... though you don't listen to the same music as me, but you understood the importance it had in my life, because one of the purposes of the book is to, when I talk to of myself, of my experience, that I can talk to everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking about punk rock music, but it could be like classical music,
sure,
the jazz, yeah. It could be, you know, any music. So it's important to me. It's not just about a testimony of or talking about Erwan Larère. Nobody cares about my life. It's how did we get here?
Yeah, and music still. I mean, I wanted to ask you how much a part music is of your life still, and I'm sure it is, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, was that difficult? In the days after November 13th, 2015, to listen to, say, Eagles of Death Metal again?
No, frankly, no.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
No,
what?
No. I. I will. I think never go back to the Bataclan.
Mm.
Well, I don't feel like today. But not listening to Eagle of Death Metal or talking about what happened to me, it's not painful.
Yeah. When you see or hear of a shooting, unfortunately we're hearing a lot about that in the United States, or a terrorist attack somewhere else around the world, what goes through your mind?
I think I feel now more empathy, and I understand what the victims and the family of the victims feel, not only in my head, but in my flesh and blood now.
Mm.
But I was aware of, you know, I'm very interested into politics.
Mm-hmm.
And in how the world goes. And it's not a surprise, you know. It was not a surprise that France was attacked. It's not a surprise it still happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as we have unhappy or humiliated or rejected people, we're going to have this kind of attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been lasting for years or decades now. So when I hear about that in the news, and I feel closer to the victims than I used to, but I'm not astonished or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I don't make myself clear.
No, you do make yourself clear, because we have to go back 3 years and remember where France was at the time. And this was, I guess, what, 10 months after Charlie Hebdo?
Yeah.
And France was on high alert. But at the same time, you know, people didn't stop doing what they did. They didn't stop going to listen to music.
No.
And
because Charlie Hebdo was special, because the guy who attacked Charlie Hebdo, they wanted to shoot those guys.
The specific people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those people.
Yeah.
In the Bataclan, it was like they wanted to shoot the crowd.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They wanted to do something spectacular. And so that's kind of different.
Yeah.
And France was not prepared for that.
Yeah. When you mentioned your interest in politics. So when you hear of what's happening around the world today, I mean, it is a period. I don't think you go anywhere in the world where there isn't some anxiety or some nervousness, if you will.
Sure.
What do you tell people in terms of how to get through what happens to them that's obviously tragic and violent?
What would I tell victims?
Yeah, I mean, is there some comfort that...
Or scared people.
Yeah, is there some comfort that you can give people listening to us in terms of, I mean, you've had to live through, you know, an incident like this. I'm curious to know if you have any wisdom in terms of just how to, you know, get through it, if you will.
I hope I was a little bit wise before, because it hasn't changed my vision. And I think I write in the book somewhere that happy people don't shoot their neighbors, you know.
Mm.
And if after having read my book, people just can take a little bit more care of their neighbors, their family, their colleagues at work, and listen to each other, maybe be more generous, or, you know, then, okay, I would have been useful. I definitely think that we are responsible for what happens. Each of us, you know? Each of us.
Yeah. Words do matter, don't they?
Sorry?
Words matter, don't they?
I hope so. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a writer, you know. I don't earn money. I don't earn a living with writing novels. It's just faith in literature that drives me. I'm a kind of monk, you know.
Yeah.
So I think I try to be useful, because I think literature can bring perspective, you know, distance. And the reason why I wrote this book I didn't want to write is I thought maybe as a writer, I could raise questions, not in black and white, you know, the bad guys killing people and the good guys being killed, because it's more complex than this.
Yeah.
And, maybe, I don't know, I hope to be useful as a writer. That's my goal.
And what comes through in the book is this compassion you have for everybody. And that's such a useful lesson for ourselves, hopefully our politicians.
But yeah, I think understanding is not forgiving, you know? Those terrorists, they are monsters. There's no way to discuss about that. They are monsters. Mm-hmm. But what I think, the question I ask is, were they born monsters? Or did they become monsters? And if they did, how and why and who's responsible for that, you know? So the word is not black and white, as I just said.
Right. Yeah.
It's complex. And trying to understand your enemy, I think, is the better way to beat him, you know, to win.
Yeah. Well, one of the lessons that I derived from the book, and one that's profound, is that even though you were injured, you were hurt, you still don't see yourself as a victim, right?
I see myself as a survivor.
Yeah.
Not a victim.
As a miracle, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've been so lucky. So, knowledge is a weapon.
Right.
Maybe that's the reason why some people don't want us to know.
Right, yeah. One of the things that you do in the book so vividly and is describe these terrible moments around 9:40 p.m. that night. For me, it was very difficult to read, and I guess that's why I'm sure other interviewers have been asking you to say relive those moments again, and I'm hesitant to do that because I found that part of the book hard to read.
That to me, it's a compliment because it means that I managed to evoke something strong. Because you can see Bruce Willis or whoever killing people on TV, and you can see him being shot, and then he goes on fighting, and then, you know, he saved the world. But when you get shot, that's not the way it works. It's so fucking... Sorry, so painful.
No, I understand.
It's so painful. So you just don't raise to save the world. You just lie underground in your blood, and you know you wait to be rescued. That's so. I tried to be. I didn't want to make people, you know, cry.
Sure.
And be so emotional. So poor Erwan. It must have been so hard. I just wanted to be. Sincere and precise for people to lay on the ground with me in the blood, you know, because it could have been you, it could have been anyone. That's the reason why I used the you, the second person. It could have been anyone.
We a lot of us have heard the audio of that night on the news and the sort, and I mean, it's unpleasant, obviously, to hear, but then to read it in your book and to be taken into the room there with you on the floor there, as you just said, that's an experience altogether. I mean, that's what makes this book such a powerful book.
Thanks.
What have other people told you about the book that you found interesting? I mean, have people who have been survivors like yourself, have they read the book? Have they talked to you about it?
Yeah. Family survivors and friends of people who died. And, you know, I've had a lot of great, great moving messages.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people for whom it was a scar or still an open scar, I don't know how you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who just knew about the Bataclan from TV, or, you know?
Yeah.
And they told... I had many people thanking me for showing that night and that even under another light. And I was I mean, that means I succeeded in a way, you know.
Yeah.
As a writer.
Yeah.
As a writer, I've been useful, as because I allowed some readers to close the chapter. Because in France, it has been a big trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who were not there and who had no one in the venue, or but they were shocked. They were, and reading my book, I've been told, well, they told me, helped them cure.
When you're thinking about this night, and we're coming up close now to November 13th again. Is there something different that goes on in your mind because say it's an anniversary, if you will?
No, not it's I'm fatalistic. Correct.
Yeah.
And I don't live in the past. Mm. I mean, I've always been living in the present. I don't live in the past, neither in the future. I'm this kind of guy. I was built like that. It's happily. So it's part of my past now, you know. It's just I'm done with it. Yeah. And I was done with it a couple of months after, you know. It has been very quick. So I've just been unlucky to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, but I've been so lucky to be alive. So no, what I just do is refuse all the French media asking me for interviews on this and the anniversaries. I refuse. I don't want to be like the survivor novelist, you know?
Right.
And I didn't want to do the promotion of my book in the blood of the victims, you know, if I make me understood. As a moral position, I didn't want to sell my book on the 30th of November. To me, sounds like impossible.
Yeah,
impossible.
You, I understand you. While you were in the hospital, you didn't write this book. You wrote another book, right?
Novel? Yeah. I was correcting the my fifth novel that issued in April 2016,
and
it kind of saved my life. Well, not exactly, but it helped me so much.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so
writing, I mean, that's your job, that's your career. How do you write? I'm curious to know. I mean, a book like this, I mean, did you write this book at a computer, or was that, say...
No, I'm a handwriter.
Oh,
I'm
you
a
are?
Yeah, pen and paper. And then I type when I'm but this book was different from the others because it was, as I told you, I've never done that, being the main character of one of my novels. And I hate to read these kind of books, you know, self-fiction or fiction, as we say in France. And it was difficult for me because I didn't manage write the first person and my personal life, because I think it's not interesting. So I gave me a deadline. I said, okay, by the end, I started to write in April 2016, and I made a contract with myself. By the end of August, if it's not finished, if it's not good, you just stop.
Mm.
You just stop. Stop the project. So that's the way I did for this one. But for the other ones, it's quite different, because I am like two novels ahead. When I finished to write a novel, I got the ideas for the next two, you know. So
you mentioned writing pen and paper.
Yeah.
That fascinates me, because a lot of us, I mean, we have to write on a computer because we're answering emails or doing social media or something. But for you, when you're writing, it has to be pen and paper for you, right?
Yeah.
What do you think happens in your mind? Say, why it has to be like that when you're writing a novel, for example?
I think the answer is simple, is because when I started to write, there were no personal computers. So I started to write when I was very young, and I wrote my first novel, I was 14.
Uh-huh.
That has never been published and will never be, and it's very bad, because you have nothing to say about nothing when you're 14. But and I was writing poems, and I was writing songs and plays and scripts, and you know. So I've always been writing all the time, and yeah, when I was young, it was only pen and paper, no personal computers. And then when I got my first one, my first personal computer, I mean, it was too late.
Yeah.
It was too late. I was a handwriter. And I love it. I love it. I think it's kind of sensual, you know, the to write. I don't know. And I'm quicker.
Yeah.
Than typing.
Yeah.
It goes quicker. And, no, I love it. I love it. And I always have a notebook. Everywhere.
Do you have certain notebooks, certain pens, if you will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got certain notebooks for the ideas and certain notebook. When I start a novel, I open a big notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I write like number 6, number 7. I'm just writing number 7 at the moment.
Yeah.
Finishing it, I hope.
Well, this book, I urge people to read the book I didn't want to write, because it is... an important book, obviously, but beyond that, it's a beautiful book in many parts, and so I so appreciate the time you've taken to talk to me today.
It's a pleasure. I'm honored.
Well, it's mine as well, because it's such a good book. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
The book is called The Book I Didn't Want to Write. It's published by Locarno Press. Erwin Larhardt, join me on the line from Toronto. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.